Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the esteemed company of Kathleen Brooks from XTB. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Joe.
You didn't stay up late to watch the golf by any chance?
I did, yeah.
So you're as tired as me.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a bit of a nail biter at the end.
Oh my God, my nails are bitten down to the quick. Anyway, let's do a little bit of let's start with banks. The Italian bank, UniCredit, is hoping to buy Commerzbank in Germany.
Yes, absolutely. So it's been trying to since September last year. It's actually got a 29% stake in Commerzbank. There's a big push from Berlin against this. As you can imagine, Germany aren't too keen on having an Italian bank take over their second largest lender. But UniCredit is really trying to pull out all the stops to get this deal over the line. So it's open to making its board more German to just help Berlin say yes to this deal.
Does that mean meet on time, unlike in Italy?
Exactly. Well, they could actually put the HQ, because they own another German bank, so they could combine that with Commerzbank and then have that as a separate HQ in Berlin. That's how far they're willing to go. So I think the lunch times would be a lot shorter, to be honest. Yeah. You know, it really is a sign of how the periphery of Europe is really starting to regain its strength as Germany's economy really struggles. And I think this is something that Berlin, that, you know, the German government is going to have to really get used to. The talks, they've stalled, but this is the first olive branch, actually, that UniCredit and Italy have given to Germany, who sees this as a very hostile move.
And yet, Europe acknowledges that it needs some cross-border champions, i.e. a big European champion. And at the first opportunity to create one, the Germans say, actually, we're not so keen on those cross-border stuff. Anyway, talking about cross-border trade deals, South Korea wants to renegotiate its trade deal with America.
Oh, yeah. Trump's tariffs once again. So it is trying to reopen the negotiations with the US, essentially to secure a, better tariff rate. Back in July, it agreed to $350 billion of investment in the US. South Korea is saying that it cannot do this in cash, and that it essentially would need to, it's unaffordable. I mean, no wonder, it's $350 billion, right? Which country can do that? But they signed this deal to get their, reduce their tariff rate to 15% from 25%. All good and rosy, but now that they're looking at the detail of it, not so good and rosy. So basically, they've said that they've got $410 billion of FX reserves. This South Korea has said this. Mm-hmm. And if they were to invest $350 billion in cash in the US, it could essentially push them into a financial crisis down the road, or, you know, people could get spooked by the fact that they've reduced their FX reserves by so much. So, you know, ultimately, it's a highly unusual move by the US to demand such large investment in return for a tariff rate. It's very unusual.
This is literally a blank playbook. Trump literally said, give us the huge amount of money and I will spend it as I see fit. It's unheard of.
And exactly. And they control the investment. He wants to control the money as well. And South Korea, I think rightly, is pushing back on this. Now, it's interesting because they're obviously not the only country or bloc that has been... That's had to, you know, pledge huge amounts of investment. Obviously, the EU has, or loads of other countries have as well. But it's really interesting that now that the reality is hitting, it's like, actually, this is not a great deal. So let's reopen those negotiations. And with everything with President Trump, it is a negotiation. So he is going to meet with some South Korean officials this week. I think it feels quite unfair. Yeah. It certainly puts the US as a massive advantage that could essentially destabilize the global economy. Essentially, that's what this is like a real test case, I think, for the rest of the world. I think it's really interesting. We should all be watching the outcome very carefully.
Indeed, and we'll be watching in Brussels. I suspect they'll be watching in Tokyo as well. Now, Trump is going to have a busy week this week. The US government could shut down tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, before he meets the South Koreans, he's actually got to meet with Senate Democrats to try and agree to increase the funding for the US government, because the funding will run out at midnight on the 30th of September, as you said. And they're locked in, obviously, a fierce battle. There doesn't seem to be any common ground between Republican and Democrats these days. And it's really showing in this potential government showdown. So the Democrats want more funding for Medicaid and for healthcare. The Republicans are saying, well, no to this, we can discuss it afterwards. Let's just get a funding measure, probably just till November, over the line and kind of kick the can down the road. Now, this is something that's been going on for forever, essentially. The government was shut down in the US back in 2013. And back then, 850,000 workers were furloughed. This time, obviously, the government has got bigger, so it would be there potentially could be more job losses. And actually, at the weekend, President Trump did say that he wouldn't just furlough the workers. He would actually use it. He would fire them. Yeah, use it to reduce the size of government, which is something obviously Republicans want, and particularly his DOGE council wanted. But it's really interesting because the market response this morning has seen gold rise above $3,800 an ounce. So it's surged by $45. Hasn't impacted stocks too much. They're expected to open higher again this week, both in Europe and in the US. But it is certainly having a big impact on the markets and on the gold market in particular.
No, BMW drivers have been told not to park their precious vehicles in garages.
Yeah. So it's a recall notice for BMWs in the US. So the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration in the US, they advise them don't park them in the garages because they could short circuit and cause a fire. And it's a problem linked to the corrosion of the engine starter, which can affect cars that are parked and also being driven, interestingly enough. But it affects 10 types of BMW, including the X4, the X3 and some electric models that were built between 2019 and 2022 in the US. So the engine starter, this has been kind of a known issue, and they are working to get it fixed, but it's going to happen in stages.
Which one do you drive, Kathleen? You're an X5 girl, are you?
I'm not a BMW driver. Never have been, actually,
right.
I have to say. Right. But there were also recalls for 1,500 Toyotas, which is probably more down my street, that have the same problem. And interestingly enough, this has happened before. In 2018, BMW was fined $10 million by the South Korean government. And that came after 50 of them caught fire in a year. So it is a known problem for the last few years.
Yeah, indeed. Kathleen, thank you so much. Have a great week. That is Kathleen Brooks from XTB. Back in a moment, talking about the proposed digital euro.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.